You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:07 and a half. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Remember, we have 2 weeks from Saturday is our Southern Arizona Honor Flight fundraiser at the fabulous Westward Look Resort. 5:30 start. Please join us. It's a RSVP mandatory at wakeuptucson@gmail.com, payable at the door, $45 cash or credit, and dinner, dancing, night at the USO, and we're going to raise money for our veterans to go visit the war memorials in D.C. It's one of the few good things that go on in D.C., so please join us again 2 weeks, August 17th, 5:30. And then remember, if you're with all these storms and the craziness that happened last Thursday, if you're dealing with any sort of storm stuff, or you have like leaks that are happening at a storm that's coming up, remember my crew at Blueprint Home Services, 525-2555, 525-2555, BlueprintHomeService.com. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Executive Vice President of the Heritage Foundation, Derek Morgan. Derek, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
How are you doing?
Doing great. You know, it's a new day.
Yeah. No news at the Heritage Foundation lately. So
it's been quiet. It's been real quiet.
This Project 25. I want to cover over the next, hopefully, other interviews in the future with you or others, so we can fully explain this. And I know there's a page you should be going to called Project 25, 2025.org/forward/truth. But the media and the left have made this sound like this is like the satanic Bible or something like that.
Yeah, I think it shows they're in full panic mode, you know, just full panic mode all out. They don't have a record to run on. You look at inflation, you look at the crisis on the border, the supposed border czar now saying she's not the border czar, never was, nothing to see here. You see crime in our cities, and you look at the radical transgenderism, and these things just combine for a really bad policy outlook for them. So they're kind of, you know, grasping at straws. And you can check out all the different lies at project25truth.org. And, you know, we've got dozens of fact checks, even from the USA Today and CNN, pointing out that the Harris campaign is just flat lying about Project 2025.
Talk about the origins of how this came about.
Yeah, Heritage actually has done a mandate for leadership every 4 years since 1980. And Ronald Reagan passed
it out. So you did sneak this on to everybody, didn't you? You bastards.
Yeah, and you know, we're hiding in plain sight here. This is a vast conspiracy that's available for anyone to download for free as a PDF. And, you know, look, we do our think tank thing, right? We bring together experts. In this case, we got 110 conservative groups together, hundreds and hundreds of people working together to put out a blueprint for conservative governance. We actually published the book in April of 2023 before any primaries had started. It wasn't, so it's all been out in the open, and they just, you know, they spin up their lies and try to get people upset about it.
So when it says that it's not partisan, right? Explain mm-hmm. that, because that's what they're saying, right? This is all a bunch of right-wing nuts that got together and came up with this thing.
Yeah, well, we're unabashedly conservative, but definitely nonpartisan and no connection to any campaign, President Trump or any others. We don't purport to speak for him or anybody else. And we put this out, you know, what, 7 months before the first primary, 8 months before the first primary election. So we wanted to bring together conservative experts to look at how do we push back against the administrative state and the left that wants to control every aspect of our life and restore self-governance to the American people. So that's what we're all about here.
What's the it looks like we have four basic policy broad groups. What are those?
Yeah, you know, we're looking at what a new conservative president would need when we set out to do this more than 2 years ago was they need a policy roadmap. And that's the mandate for leadership book that's published and available for everyone that the left's been lying about. A personnel database, which is people to volunteer to come to the swamp and help to drain it. You know, we don't need just the same hangers-on and the same group of D.C. people cycling through setting their own agenda rather than the people's agenda as expressed through their vote for president. And then we want to train people up so that they're ready to work and they're ready to work on behalf of the American people. So, all of those three things we think combined to will make the next conservative president a successful one.
When we talk about, everyone loves to say drain the swamp, right? And one of our friends on the show is Congressman David Schweikert, Ways and Means. And I've asked David before, what does it really take to drain the swamp? And if I remember, his answer was Republicans who want to drain the swamp would have to have control of president, Senate, and Congress for at least 8 to 12 years to get anything done in that world. Do you agree with that that estimate?
Congressman Schweikert is a true patriot, and I do think it does take a long term. It can't just be 1 4-year term, but you also just have to take advantage of every opportunity, and that's really what our thinking was with putting this out, well over a year ago now, is to have a game plan. So if there's this 4-year term, how much of the damage can you undo that President Biden has done over the last 4 years? And if you do have that aggressive plan and you hit the ground running, you can make real progress. Now, will you be able to completely turn around the country in 4 years? Of course not. Is one election going to decide it? Of course not. But you've got to get in and have a game plan. Otherwise, you will just flail around. And you won't accomplish anything.
On draining the swamp, what's the number one and number two things that got to happen right in that first 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, you've got to turn back this idea of the whole agenda of government on the green energy and the climate change and all of that. That's affected almost every agency in government. They're obsessed with it, and it kind of colors everything they do. The other thing is kind of DEI and ESG, which also permeates every part of the government. And viewing Americans through divisive categories like race rather than the content of their character and their merits and so forth is so pernicious that it's infected every government agency. So I would point to those two as kind of the overarching items that need to take place. And in terms of pressing legislative business, you've got to look at assuming President Trump gets in, you've got to look at the tax cuts because they're set to expire. And that really put the economy on a strong trajectory. So I would point to kind of those three things as the top of the agenda for the first few months.
Before I let you go, I know I got to let you go in a few minutes. I want to go through part of this, which is debunking the lies, so the true falses. So here we go. Project 25 comes from Donald Trump.
Yeah, we did this. We published this well before there was a nominee, and it does. We have nothing to do with his campaign. It's completely false.
The goal is to terminate the Constitution.
That's a little projection on the part of the left there. We are the foremost defenders of the Constitution and our Ed Meese Legal Center. We lift it up every single day. That's what we want to get back to is self-governance, not governance by a permanent left-wing bureaucracy, but instead the government should really follow the will of the people.
It is cute coming from a group of people who think the Constitution's a workaround and the Supreme Court is now an inconvenience. So
that's exactly right.
I like this one. This is coming from the lefties. Give government more power over your daily life.
Again, it feels like projection, they want government involved in every single thing you do. And I think if you look at Project 2025, it's about reining in the excesses. We have a permanent administrative state that doesn't try to change its ways. It has its own agenda. It wants more control. I think climate is a big part of that. And then they don't do the very basic things of government, law and order, securing our border, not spending more than we take in. And we've seen the rampant inflation because of that. And then the transgenderism agenda, it's out of control all the way down to our grade schools. And so we've got to push back on all of that to restore freedom and self-governance to the people.
We're talking to Derek Morgan, Executive Vice President of Heritage Foundation, Project2025Truth.org is where you want to go. They say we're banning books on in curriculum about slavery. That's another one there.
Wow. I don't even know where they got that idea. It's obviously, it's not even in one of the 920 pages of the report. In fact, our president here at Heritage, Kevin Roberts, is an early American historian and wrote his dissertation on early American slavery and has written passionately about it. It's, we need to learn from it. Everybody needs to be treated equally and according to the content of their character. And unfortunately, it's the exact opposite direction of the left, who wants to obsess about race and divide us among each other.
This one's not aging so well. Continue to pack the Supreme Court. I didn't know we were packing it now. And lower courts with right-wing judges.
You're exact. It did not age well, given President Biden's recent comments. You know, they really just want to try to destroy anything that stands in their way, and it's very frustrating.
Cut military benefits for vets.
You know, some of these you just have to laugh at. It's really unreal. They that's one of them. They've said that Project 2025 wants to cut Social Security. It's not anywhere in the plan. They make that one out. It's about fear mongering and not wanting to fess up to their own terrible track record.
Heritage Foundation wants to drown puppies and kittens. Oh no, that I just added that one. sorry. Let's see. End marriage equality.
Yeah, that's nowhere talked about either. The fact is, it's kind of the settled law of the land, and the American we would have rather the American people speak on it than the Supreme Court taking it in their own hands, of course. It's nowhere in the Project 2025.
Before we let you go, there's so much more. We'll continue the conversation. One of our listeners has a quick question for you. Let's go to our friend Gary down in Bisbee. Gary, you're on with Derek Morgan from Heritage. What's up, buddy?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I would just like to ask him, how does the Heritage Foundation fare against the Brookings Institute? If the left is so concerned about your organization, how concerned are they about the Brookings Institute?
Yeah, great question. And in fact, Brookings is definitely a center-left group, but there's way more aggressive groups on the left, like the Center for American Progress. In fact, they have their own left-wing plans, we assume, funded by George Soros, who knows, but they've been publishing their game plans for the left for generations now. And it's radical leftism that you wouldn't believe. So that'd be even more, I would say, on the left-hand side of things. But the fact is, look, we think the cure for bad ideas is to combat them in public. We go toe-to-toe with the Center for American Progress, with Brookings, and with so many other groups. And we're just grateful for so many members and supporters across the country. We try to be America's outpost here in Washington, D.C., and bring some sanity from outside the Beltway into the conversations here.
Derek, I appreciate the time and the conversation, and what I want to do is work with Kristen on trying to get a couple of your folks to do each part, you know, the border energy, and we'll go a little deeper between now and the end of the election season, okay?
That'd be great. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right, Derek Morgan, have a good day, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Derek Morgan, Executive Vice President of the Heritage Foundation, a little group called Led Zeppelin. Here we go. There we go. A little public service broadcasting. 7:25 in the morning. Let's do a quick recap because I promise I put a picture of Burgundy and the news team on Facebook.
News team assemble!
That we're doing Tucson's best primary day coverage here a little bit. All right. So let's fulfill the horse crap I put on Facebook today. All right.
Okay.
Juan Siscomani thumped what's her face.
Yeah.
And so last number I saw was 62-38.
Okay.
Which is great.
Tried to buy a seat.
And he's done such a nice job ignoring her during this whole campaign. Right. And she's just thrown hate on him. So classy lady. Classy, classy. Looks like Vince is holding out right now by about 1,000 votes over Wadsack.
Okay.
So we'll see. Hopefully he prevails so we can hopefully maintain a Republican majority in the legislature.
Yeah, sure.
Felice Navi fraud, Mark Fincham.
Can you believe that?
Thumped Ken Bennett and the other guy.
Wow.
I told you. You get me in now.
You mocked me.
even though I gave, I mean, think about it, he gave like 72% of his fundraising to the sweatshop in Silver Spring, Maryland. So we got that going for us.
Yep.
I got to see if that Slayton guy. Steve, the Trump store guy with the stolen valor thing and all that jazz.
Okay.
I'll have to look up if he made it.
He was running?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
I know that. So then we had Heather Lappin. Looks like she's going to take the Republican sheriff primary. And she's calling in to Josh and Grant on Jump In Tucson, along with Juan Siscomani, coming up in the Jump In Tucson hour at 9 o'clock. Then we had Conover just whipped Jetty, right? Like 2/3 of the vote.
Yeah, that was did not see that coming.
And what I see here with Jennifer Allen, who
fighting crime's not a strong issue in Pima County.
It's
apparently.
Not. It's
among,
not
among the left.
Again,
among the left.
I've had this discussion.
Not
with
big on that.
Joshua and others that the left, the hard left of this town, and the media that they read has separated homelessness with crime, right? They don't think crime has anything to do with fentanyl or homelessness, right? But anyway, the machine ground game really came out hard for Jen Allen and Conover. That's the way this plays out,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And
chasing
ballots and doing their thing. I mean, Jen Allen is a stone-cold commie. She makes Adelita Grijalva possibly look moderate.
Wow.
She's a train wreck.
Wow.
Absolute train wreck.
Know nothing of her, so.
Just go watch the Greater Democrats of Tucson Forum and just watch the Jen Allen pieces. You're going to just start singing the Soviet Union National Anthem before it's all over. I mean, just freaking wow.
And yet no coverage from Sputnik Global.
Also in the primary, I forgot to say it earlier, John Backer did beat Corey Stevens.
Yeah.
Last time I saw that was about 62-38 yeah. Also, I think. So we got, and then.
And I think.
Yes, sir.
Heinze may be vulnerable because there's votes in Green Valley, Sowrita, or Green Valley at least. And he's demonstrated that he's not really into it.
And then what's his face? Sorry, what's her face? Carrie Lake did defeat my boy Mark Lamb. And Mark, you know, he had a weird campaign, very uneven. Got taken, you know.
I think a late start, I think it's the best.
Late start, wasted money with some Scottsdale consultant firms in the beginning. And but I think he should chill out, and I think he should start running to be the next governor of Arizona is what I think he should do. So our bench is not great in Arizona. I just want you guys to know that. 7:29 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Happy birthday to Geddy Lee the last couple of days, bassist singer for Rush. Here we go. All right, we got to cover a little bit more of these election things. The Trump store guy went down bigly, according to
bigly.
Billy Won and Sergio. So there was like some sort of stolen valor thing. My girl Wendy Rogers won her thing. So so good. I got it. I went organic, farm to table, Trump impression. What else do we got here? Nanos won 60-40 against Sandy Rosenthal. What else do we got here? It's so funny. There was a guy who's, I don't know if you go, there's a Republican running for recorder named Dominic Campbell Gonzalez. And so when I was with my family and they were going through their sample ballots, they go, who's this guy for recorder? I go, what's his or her name? Like, it's Dominic Campbell Gonzalez. I go, who the hell's that? I have no idea who that guy is. It's so good. So good. I was totally sad to see my girl Melissa Zuppi in Marana lost out by like 100 votes. Right now, I think it's over, but she lost to, let's see, she came in third. There were two seats up and three people running, and so this guy, Patrick Kavanaugh, who's pretty much a lefty, no-growth guy, that is not a good addition to the Marana Town Council.
Got it.
Then Roxanne got in Ziegler. Of course, she was an incumbent, so that definitely helped, and she beat Melissa by... 90 votes or so. 90 votes. I don't know if there's anything left there. Mayor Ed ran unopposed. And, of course, happy birthday to Mayor Ed Honey from Marana. One of my favorite mayors. And him and Tom Murphy are, you know, always 1-2 in the Southern Arizona region. So happy birthday to Mayor Ed Honey. And if my boy Vince holds out over your 71 and a 35 state senator, we'll have a nice lunch that he might be paying for. Just let you know. And then in Oro Valley, Elizabeth Robb won. She was first. Close second was my friend Mary Murphy. Then Mo Green came in third. And then Tim Bowen came in last. So he's losing to Mo by 394 votes, 6194 to 5800. So I think that is probably pretty good. Sahuarita, they had four open seats and four candidates. So we had that going for us. And Murph was not up there. So so anyway, and then Mark Fincham defeated Ken Bennett and another dude.
That was not close.
So we had that happening. We had David Schweikert did win his primary.
Yep, pretty soundly.
So we got that going for us.
That 45-minute YouTube video put him over the top, I think.
One that Matt was worried about, Michael Norton did beat Art Hernandez in the Green Party primary for U.S. Senator.
I was actually sweating that one out.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a nail biter.
You are correct. Each one of them grew organic vegetables, and one accused the other one of using pesticide. I mean, it was...
You used Vigoro!
And then the guy who's going to run against Schweikert is Amash Shah, okay, who beat perennial loser Andre Cherney. This guy runs for everything.
Oh, sure.
He's like a shorter Glassman in a way. His commercials were running in Flagstaff last weekend. Right?
Enough about you. What do you think about me?
And there
me?
Was a picture where he's like, they kind of focused on him in the video, and he had the goofiest look on his face. Like he sat on some hot coals or something like that, and then they froze it. He's like, eh. Somebody told him to smile.
Click.
Andre, fire your folks. Eli Crane won over some guy named Jack Smith. But that was supposedly a McCarthy guy to get rid of Eli kind of thing.
Really?
Supposedly. Okay. So we had that going.
The Kevin McCarthy Vengeance Tour?
You are correct. What else do we got here today? We got that, people.
Was Blake Masters in a primary contest?
So that's the other interesting part here. So we have...
Was it Masters versus Hamadeh?
Abe Hamadeh versus Blake Masters.
And what were they running for?
Or as we say, Balake. Now remember, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in this race.
Oh boy.
This is the takeover the Lesko race seat.
Okay.
And Lesko did beat my boy Bob Branch in a primary for Maricopa County Supervisor yesterday also.
Alrighty.
Now, so Trump, this was a Kathleen Wynne dream if it would happen. Trump endorsed both Hamadeh and Masters in the same thing. In the same race. All of a sudden he said, yeah, if Balake wins, it's great. It's fine.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He did the double endorsement. Yeah. So what happened was...
Did he do the double endorsement in CD6? I can't remember.
Hold on. Let's. No, sir. So Hamadeh, 25,000 votes, almost 26,000.
Right.
Balake Masters, 22,000. Ben Toma was in that race too.
Goodness.
18,000. Trent Franks, family
Trent
man.
Trent Franks?
Family man.
I did not know he was running.
14,500. Anthony Kern, 4,000. And Patrick Pat Briody, 2,000.
Huh.
So right now, unless something weird happens, Abe Hamadeh is going to win that that primary to face the everyone's favorite Democrat, Greg Whitten. You guys know Greg Whitten. I don't know who he is. I'm just kidding. So we had that going
the
for
Greg
us.
Whitten.
Yes, E. Greg Whitten. There was no drama in the Corporation Commission. There were three Republicans for three spots. So they did that. Same in the Democrat side. Again, Fincham 47% in a three-way race up in District 1. Shauna Bolick, 53-46. She was a winner. Let's see what else we got here. Kavanaugh didn't have anyone. This is what Ted was talking about, how many districts were had no primary competition. District 4, Kareen Werner in the Republican side beat a guy named Ken Bowers. Wendy Rogers defeated Dave Cook 54 to 46%. What else do we got here?
Oh, this is so great.
So great. Farnsworth had nobody. Cara Vicini. I don't know who she is, but I just wanted to say Cara Vicini. She didn't have any competition. Mesdar, no competition. Peterson, Hoffman, no competition. Shope, no competition. Again, Vince Leach, 51.5 over 48.5 for the bizarre Justine Wadsack. Gowan, nothing there. You didn't run against anybody. Again, a lot of uncontested primaries in this whole thing. So, Quang Nguyen, who's been on the show before, he looks like he won his primary. Joseph Chaplick defeated Alexander Culloden, Culloden. Matt Gress beat some lady named Pam Carter. Going through this real quick. So this is the one. So this is District 7 up in the White Mountains. So there was two seats. So Walt Blackman, who was he was in the state legislature before, him and David Marshall were the top two seats, and Steve Slayton, I got him mixed up. Steve Slayton, who's the Trump store guy with the stolen ballot, he got half the amount. He got about 6,000 votes to their 12,000 apiece.
Got it.
Now, the best one is Slayton was running commercials, again, being in flag and getting the commercials up there, he was calling him Woke Blackman. That was his thing. He was just going after. I was kind of like, does Steve do anything? Should I know about Steve?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like a certain CD6 candidate who all could talk about was how much of an a-hole her competition was and nothing much about herself. So it's okay. It's okay.
In this out of Cochise County, Frank Antonori won his primary.
Oh, he did.
For
okay,
District
good.
3, or I think it's District 3 supervisor in Cochise County.
Okay.
So good. Did very well.
No, I'm glad Frank's.
Congratulations, Frank.
That's where Frank's great in those situations, man. You know, he shouldn't be working on party politics so much, but when it comes to being an elected official, Frank's the bomb. So love having Frank out there. What else do we got here today? Oh, and then I guess the big thing is for people, Stephen Richer, the Maricopa County recorder guy who was at the center of so much controversy, he lost his primary against Justin Heap.
Oh.
So, and in shocking news, Rodney Glassman didn't run for anything this year. So
that's the big news.
Yeah, the big news is Rodney Glassman guaranteed himself a non-loss this year. So congratulations, Rodney. He'll get there. He'll be back. Oh, yeah, he'll be back. Let's go to break. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. And we're just playing the Chris playlist. Just a nice little playlist. Just me time. Me and my cup of coffee in front of the fireplace. Just chilling out. So Danny Zalisco is coming up at the top of the hour. Concert promoter extraordinaire. I sat at the Danny Zalisco Cravers Hall of Fame table Monday at the White Castle in front of IKEA, believe it or not. I didn't even know it was there. And I was sitting at the Danny
White Castle
table.
In front of the IKEA.
You are correct. What wonders of the world.
Meatballs and sliders.
Woo! That's true. It's all little pieces of meat over there. All right. Switch 625 from Def Leppard. Here we go. This is not a song about Tucson, Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. It's that day after primary. Let's see. I met with Romney earlier this year. He told me he's already filed for state attorney general. Oh my gosh, Rodney's coming back for state attorney general again.
Huh?
Woo! That's a from Dan Shearer. You've met with Rodney, and Rodney has already signed up to run for state attorney general in 2026.
Holy Moses.
So
okay.
Heavy on the cheese, baby. Like Rocco's, too much cheese, as we like to say for Rodney Glassman.
way too much cheese.
Absolutely. Let's go to Windows first. Windows, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's up, my friend?
Concerning Asia?
Yes, sir.
That song earlier, Soul Survivor, just completely annihilates that.
Both are good songs.
That's their greatest song. Yeah, that's their greatest
song. I love Soul Survivor.
My friend actually saw him, Chris. My friend from West Virginia actually saw him live in A2.
The solo on Time and Again that Steve Howe rips off is totally amazing. So it's even better than Soul Survivor.
They came out as a super group. Before the album even came out, they were described as a super group.
Oh, trust me. I know. Yeah. I'm a huge Asia guy. John Wetton's one of my favorites. All those guys are like my favorites, so... We've interviewed everyone in that band except for John Wetton because he had trouble with his phone in Canada, believe it or not. So,
what an amazing musician. So, Chris, since it's the day after.
Yes.
Not the movie.
Yes.
The day after. the primary. I got three words for you. Carrie, baby.
Well, so.
Man, I'm telling you, Hugh is enthralled with her. Hugh has totally swallowed the Kool-Aid for her. She was on yesterday with him. And I don't know what's going on, but your love-hate relationship, I think it's aiding her.
Well, absolutely. She cares about
it. I was shocked she won. I was.
No, I wouldn't be in shock. She had the Trump endorsement, and she had amazing name ID amongst Republicans. And Mark Lamb didn't get out there. So
she's visceral, dude.
Again, so she has. So the question is, can Carrie Lake chill out and just be a normal pro-business, small government Republican without going? She keeps falling into the same angry tropes. And
well, Chris, there's hope. You know why? Because they got Kamala to quit laughing. Apparently, Trump even addressed it.
Oh, they're gonna. She's
so the cackle is gone. I don't know if there's juice in her up.
She cackled. She cackled a little bit. We might play it later. We have her doing her Georgia accent yesterday in Atlanta. It's the best.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I ain't tired now, Chris. I was remiss in my Olympics yesterday.
Yes,
because
this is the Pliskin. Hold on for everyone. It's the Pliskin Acre. The Pliskin Acres Olympics.
Yes. Now, the Olympics are just worthless without two things. You got the Olympic flame, and you got the Olympic village. So on the flame, of course, the Olympic village will be at Grant Road in Alvernon.
Right. I'm there.
Yeah, right there. The moon could supply all of the paraphernalia they need for the Olympics. You know, the moon will sponsor the Pliska. I think paraphernalia shop should be the main sponsor of the Pliskin Acre Olympics. And then the torch, you know, like they cut, you know, like Snoop Dogg with the torch in France. They come down with one of those big acetylene type crack lighters that you get at the 99 cent only store. And they come down and everyone's cheering and doing their stuff. And then they light up a trash barrel. And then the ceremonial trash barrel burns during the entire time during the Olympics.
So can I offer, hold on.
Eternal flame.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. I just want, there's two suggestions I have. Mm-hmm. We can still get, remember, we can still get Snoop Dogg because now we have a football. He has a football game here. So we can still get him down here to do it himself. I love the lighter. That's great. Can I just offer the dumpster fire instead of the barrel? Because then it has that spirit.
I thought of the dumpster. It's too obvious.
But I don't know. Sometimes
I'm trying to incorporate the dumpster into the actual games, where it's just tough.
But the word dumpster fire, dumpster fire as a description of what's going on in there, I think that double meaning is where we need to be, sir. That's all. I love what you're saying. I'm just saying I think dumpster is more appropriate. So,
now I tend to agree with you. Now I got one last thing, Chris, because this is one of those rare months where the way the Quick Trip cycle goes, I've got free time for a bit, other than my usual downtown
escapades. You have more free time.
I went to a big box store yesterday, Chris. Went to a big box store and purchased a portable air conditioner for Tiger Lily.
Okay.
I'm in there checking out. I'm not going to name names. And then it came up about they open at 5 a.m. And I said, well, I get up at 3 a.m. I'm a window cleaner. And then two T's came up. The cashier's like, your Windows XP.
Oh!
And I said, what?
Are
you? Like, yeah. And you know what I said to her, Chris? I said, I hope I didn't offend you at all. And she said, no. And she was giddy about it.
So you're saying someone at the big box store recognized you as Windows XP from your voice?
Yeah, well, she took my email, too, so I gave my email as my full name.
Gotcha.
And then it was just everything kind of added up to where the light bulb went off. And then it's like, she goes, you call in the KVOI. And I said, yeah. And then I said, Chris, here we go. My favorite thing is to get Chris D. Simone to laugh.
That's
true. I told her that. And
That's
then,
good.
You know, it was a good experience.
So, hey, I got one more. I got one more Plissken Acres Olympic suggestion. I got to take one more call. Darts, but you use syringes. It's competitive darts, okay. But you use the syringes.
But remember, Chris, it's an eternal flame because there's always a lighter lit in Tucson, Arizona. So they don't, you know, they don't need to keep the flame. There's always somebody smoking something.
All right, I gotta get going. Good call, and I'm glad you got recognized by a good person working out there. So excellent.
Yeah, you got good people that listen, Chris. God bless you.
All right, my friend. Have a good day. Gary from Bisbee, you're back, buddy. What's shaking?
Thank you for taking my call. Just want to ask you, I was looking over the voting results in Maricopa, and I don't know if I'm reading into this, but for Raul Grijalva, the ballots cast were very low compared to the other 10 people. 4,000 cast, turnout of 23%, even though he is the only candidate. That low of showing, does that tell you something?
So, if you look at it, so 46,000 casted for Grijalva, 21,000 for Daniel Butietas, right? And it's a plus 40 Democrat district. So that is I wouldn't read too much into it. It's a huge uphill slog. Huge.
Okay.
I like Daniel a lot, but it's an uphill slog. So,
very good. Thank you for educating.
All right, man. Have a good day. All right, Gary from Bisbee. We love when Gary calls up. Dave Slavin's here, and that means we're always doing something fun and musical. We have part two. He's going to be calling in Danny Zalisco. He is Arizona's probably one-man stand premier concert promoter of the last so many years. And there was so much meat on the bone, we said, hey, Danny, can you call back? And he said yes. So, again, I would love to move his whole memorabilia thing down here. I think it's going to be Rio Nuevo. Fletcher's phone, throwing money around like a drunk sailor down there. So I'd rather have him do this than give it to some hipsters with a crappy restaurant that go out of business 8 months later. So we'll work on it. See, I worked so nicely how I asked Fletcher right there.
You just have to keep it secure.
Absolutely. That's true. All right, everyone. Danny Zalisco and Dave Slavin coming up next.